Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You are not under law,
but under
you are not under law,
but under grace.
You are not under law,
but under grace.
Sin shall not be your master, because
you are not under law,
but under grace. Sin shall not be your master, because
you are not under law,
but under grace.
What then shall we sin, because we are not under law, but under grace?
Oh,
what then shall we sin, because we are not under law,
Nation, Shalom listeners. I'm Antajadir Ben Israel of the Tribe of Benjamin. This is Come Out of Her, My People Outreach Program on Blog Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, May 21st, and our topic is There's No Flaw in the Law. As usual, here I have with me co-messenger, our dear Ak, Officer Robert Ben Israel. Are you there, brother?
Shalom, can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Shalom,
Shalom to you. Do you have any current events for us today, brother?
Yeah, I found one, and it's pretty much like I always do every particular week to the listening audience. Maybe we have any particular new individuals in the audience that listen to, but what we do is, what I do actually is, every week I try to pick out a current event or an article that just basically just gives a, you know, a small little in-depth understanding of what it is that we're bringing forth. So
the article that I brought forth was this, man gets life in missing atheist case. Lifelong criminal Gary Allcar.
Excuse me, brother.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, you're fading away. My apologies for interrupting.
Not a problem, brother. Thank you for that. Ta-da for that. Can I be heard now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Lifelong criminal Gary Paul Carr was sentenced to life in prison today for extorting money from missing atheist Madeline Murray O'Hare and her family and his role in what prosecutors called an elaborate robbery and murder scheme. Carr, 52, was convicted in June of extorting more than $600,000 from O'Hare, her son, John Garth Murray, and granddaughter, Robin Murray O'Hare. The trio have been missing since 1995. U.S. District Judge Sam Sparks sentenced Carr to a mandatory life sentence under the federal three strikes law, which penalizes repeat violent offenders. It appears Mr. Carr has struck out, said federal prosecutor Gerald Carruth after sentencing. Body still missing, Carr's criminal history dates to 1966 with convictions for armed robbery, aggravated kidnapping, and indecent liberties with a child. He had been released from a 20-year prison term just a few months before the O'Hare family disappeared. Investigators say the missing atheist family was kidnapped, killed, and dismembered. Their remains have never been found. Although investigators have identified other suspects and say the case remains open, Carr was the only person charged. Sparks gave Carr another life sentence for traveling across state lines to commit a violent act. Carr also received 2 10-year terms for committing a criminal act to gain financial aid and interstate transportation of stolen property. All of the sentences will be served concurrently. Sparks ordered Carr to pay $543,665 to the Missing Atheist Estates and United Secularists of America, one of O'Hare's atheist groups, as restitution. The routes of appeal, Carr's attorneys, Tom Mills and Christy Williams of Dallas, said they will appeal Carr's conviction and sentence. Carr did not address the court, letting Mills speak for him instead. He has expressed his opinion that the prosecutors viewed his role incorrectly, Mills told Sparks. In 1995, Carr traveled from Texas to New Jersey with John Hart Murray to transfer $600,000 from a bank account to a San Antonio coin dealer. Soon afterwards, Murray converted the cash into gold coins the atheists were never heard from again. Now, I'm just going to stop right there. Basically, this article was brought forth because it's going to intertwine with what we're speaking of today. One of the particular things that with this article and the reason why I had brought forth this is going into twine what we're going to be able to speak to today. This individual, well, the family is basically a karmic situation that wound up happening. And one of the karmic situations is basically what we're going to elaborate on today. So I just brought that forth to the relative's attention. So with that being said, I'll bring it forward to our dear brother, Brother Antajanet.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. It's, you know, tragic that this had to happen to the family. And, you know, he has gotten what's due. Although there should be death penalty, you know, some states don't carry that. So he just has to stay his life in prison. Now, that track we played at the beginning by Don Harris and Gene Miller, it was saying something to the fact of that's very controversial, I should say. And they were saying, we are no longer under law, but under grace. Now, there's many different Christians out there that are stating the same thing. And I wonder, could this be why there's so many lawbreakers? Because they don't really understand where that comes from and what it means. That was taken from Romans 6:14-15. And I'm going to read that from the King James Version, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. 15. What then? Question mark. And I say question mark because this is a question being asked. What then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under law, but under grace? Question mark. God forbid. So what this is stating is asking, should we sin because we're under grace? And the answer was God forbid. So as you see, many people state that they no longer have to follow the law, statutes, and commandments that were given to Moses, which there are 613 of them. They feel like it's because they're under grace by the death of so-called Yeshua, that they should no longer have to go by certain laws and pick and choose which ones they want to go by. This may be why we have so much sin and lawlessness going on today. And as we know, and we spoke on before, sin is transgression of the law. You see, many people actually believe that they no longer have to follow the laws of Scripture. Those people feel there's no need to follow all the laws of the Most High, but seem to see need to follow all of man's laws. Some even say you have to follow the laws of government. And as we know and have heard many times, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. I wonder if those who say those things really know what it means to follow man's laws, but choose not to follow the Most High's laws. Now, don't take what I'm saying wrong. Yes, we must follow the rules of government, especially the government that you are contracted under. You have to follow the rules. But what I'm actually saying is that the so-called Ten Commandments are, in fact, being used and implemented in the courts, in our legal system, and in the so-called governments. And here's some examples. Stealing, lying, bearing false witness, which is lying, perjury, which is lying or breach of contract, killing, and adultery. As we know, government officials and agents lose their jobs for adultery, and most divorces or cases are the cause of adultery or the effect of adultery. So as we see, all the laws are still being implemented and used in government that are in those Ten Commandments. But yet still, people don't understand that they're still following the laws of the Most High by following the laws of the government they're under. Now, tribes of Aboriginal nations, we teach and know that there's 613 laws, statutes, and commandments that were given to our ancestors to follow in order to prosper as a unified body of people. They are the main basis of all laws, which includes contractual, commercial agreements, and also any type of trade or barter. You see, laws govern everything we can think of. There's also different types of law. There's special laws to all contracts we enter into. There's laws for traffic, business, housing, as well as many more subjects that affect our daily lives. But the main ones that we deal with every day is commercial and criminal law. The reason I mentioned those two, and it's very important, because every aspect of contracts involving trade or exchange is commerce. And the reason I mentioned criminal law is that it affects us all. Depending on what law you break in commerce, it can put you in jail, which results in the same outcome as a criminal case. Now, I know the law is not always in our favor and can be strict or even biased at times. But if you have your own body of law that you abide by as an independent nation outside of the jurisdiction of USA, a.k.a. Beast Incorporated, then we wouldn't have to worry about how harsh or unfair we feel these laws are. And I yield, brother, if you have anything you can add it. Thank you.
Ta-da. To the listening audience, you got to ask yourself this question, really. Is there a flaw in nature? Is there a flaw in what the Most High Almighty has brought forth? What is law? What is law as far as what Brother Priest has brought about in the past 3 years? Well, Brother Priest told us that law is land, air, and water. Now, I don't know about you brothers and sisters, but I don't see any flaw in that. What is a flaw? A flaw basically is a defect impairing legal soundness or validity, a crack or break or breach or a rent. You see, the law is a set of laws basically that go beyond what man perceives to be the law, which is natural law, God's law. These laws are basically energy frequencies that pervade the universe and are in effect at all times. They are immutable and unchangeable. They are a state of consciousness and understanding that we put into our mind as a vision of our own physical experience, our own self, what we have learned or what we need to learn. So there is no defect in breaching that. It is continuous. If there was a flaw in the law, what would happen, ladies and gentlemen? Chaos. So as the description states that religious leaders are saying that we should no longer follow certain laws, kind of a little bit frivolous, and it doesn't really make too much of sense. And that basically, that law is needed to stay in alignment with nature, positive laws, or carry out certain orders. What is positive law? Well, positive law is when you're aligning yourself with nature. Now, you have two different things you have with dealing with the 600 laws, statutes, and commandments. You have your positive law and you have your negative law. Now, negative law deals with the people in the state of mind consciousness of a beast or an animal, which we describe beast as those people that believe in that they are human beings or monsters, according to Black's Law Dictionary. Negative law, once again, you know, when you sit back and you think of negative law, it's basically, you know, dogma-based instead of basically the natural processes of trial and error. So it's basically dogmatic in nature, and it's a dogma according to, you know, their believer, usually based on an ideology or a belief system, based on opinions of persons, you see. Not anything built in solid facts, which is what the Most High Creator has, and there's no flaws in anything that would be considered a fact. So when you look at it from that standpoint, and you look at it from a legal or lawful standpoint, and a metaphysical standpoint, there's really no flaws in anything that would be perceived as the law. Like the brother just pointed out, you know, there's particular commercial situations that apply to the law itself, which is what he brought out, thou shalt not lie, which is the breach of contract, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, when you go ahead and you deal with your consort or your woman or whatever you're dealing with, and you commit in any form of cheating or whatever the case may be, that is a, you know, form of adultery. With adultery comes consequences that come with adultery, so it's deeper than just what we do here on this particular planet Earth. It's more than that. It's more universal in its particular connotation. So I'm just backing up what the brother has. So I'll back to you.
Yes, sir. Tada for that. Now, most of my adult life, I've encountered people that were either lying about what they have done illegally or unlawfully just because they don't want to be accountable for their actions, or think that there's some kind of quick fix to get out of the punishment that resulted from their disobedience. The reality is, the laws are in place to not only hold you accountable for your wrongdoings, but also keep order and civility in all societies. Just imagine, as the brother mentioned earlier, if you could just break any law you want to and it go unnoticed, what type of world would it be? Would you like to live in that type of society and raise children around that? Well, that's why the laws are in place, and what applies to one citizen applies to all. That's why we say there's no flaw in the law. It's all relevant to keeping uniformity, order, and as a body of people, if you follow these laws, then you will have what is called success, or you'll be a prosperous nation. And with that, I yield and pass it back to you, brother, again.
Okay. Well, another thing I like to point out is basically when you think about the flaws a lot of times is like in the people, but there is no flaw in the law. The people, you know, based upon their choices, they choose to turn away from the law. And what they do is they go into their own ways, thereby transgressing the law, which is sin. And by doing that, they have transgressed against themselves, because when you wake up and come into your proper status, ladies and gentlemen, you become the law. Let's go into Matthew 5:17, which says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Okay, let's go look into fulfill at dictionary.com. What I come to find out at dictionary.com is that it means to carry out or bring to realization as a prophecy or a promise, to perform or do as a duty, obey or follow as commands. Number three, to satisfy requirements, obligations, etc. So could it be that the law is supposed to be carried out and brought to realization as a prophecy or promise?
So what this means is that word is bond and was kept an honoring of a contract was happening. Could it be that performance and duty was being done? We all know, Brother Priest has brought forth that in the language of law, that performance is key in terms of promissory notes, hence the word promise. You don't have to have a job to have a duty. You have to have a job, J-O-B, capital J-O-B, initially with the creator to govern yourself in accordance to these. Obey and follow requires submission, and the only who you truly can give commands is the creator. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a duty to satisfy the obligations set forth by this creator, and we have to definitely come into our own. Now, I want to bring forth a couple of things in terms of law itself. Now, when you're dealing with law, you're dealing with, like I pointed out earlier, things that are higher than you. And think about this for a second, brothers and sisters. If there's a particular flaw in this particular law, now you have in the universal realm the law of compensation, which basically means that you'll be compensated in like measure for all the things that you do. So basically, no one is basically going to get away with anything. I think that really remains to be seen, because if you think you're doing something wrong, eventually you will be able to get caught in what you're going ahead and doing. Nothing is being hidden from what it is that you're going ahead and doing. All right, the law of cause and effect, which is also called the law of karma and dharma, law of action and reaction, and the law of retribution. Basically, there's a cause for every effect. A cause is always a reflection of being in harmony with or an abusion of natural laws. We got another law, as above, so below, and as below, so above. The law of as above, so below is indicative of all the thoughts that we project in the astral plane. Anything, like I just pointed out before, that anything you do here on this particular earth has a universal consequence. So these are just a couple of things I like to bring forth to the brothers and sisters just to think about in terms of if the law really does have a flaw in it. And I just want you brothers and sisters just think about that for a second, and I'll pass it back to you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. Why we believe there's no flaw in this law is because the law is a form of order and civility that helps all nations, states, and communities keep discipline and uniformity. Now, the word discipline, let's take a look into that. If you study words and how they relate to one another, you'll discover that the word discipline includes the word disciple, which would indicate that they were definitely followers of the law. Yes, we know they were followers of the Christ, Yahshua, but it would still mean they were followers of the law, because the law is the main thing that the Christ upheld, and as the brother read earlier, he lived to fulfill. Now, as we know, the laws were here way before Yahshua was born, and it clearly stated in the scriptures, if we follow those laws the Most High gave us by the way of Moses, we will be prosperous in all that we do. The ironic thing is that one of those laws was for us to govern ourselves, to separate from and not contract with the heathen or the doers of evil, as some would call them. You know, like when your parents tell you don't hang out with bad company, or, you know, stay away from a certain friend, and if you keep hanging with them, you're going to end up in trouble. Well, that's the same warning that we got from the scriptures. But somehow, some way, we still ended up conducting some types of forms of relations with them. Whether we were contracted through commerce or intermingled carnally, this led to our downfall many times throughout history. And now the same laws that we were directly given by the Most High, we either are victims of from the punishment of our transgressions, or trying to somehow get around honoring those laws. I wonder if those that are in the least bit of a spiritual nature understand that to get out of honoring the laws is a direct breach of contract, a.k.a. covenant, that we had with the Most High. Now, I come from a background of church, and, you know, a lot of the churches, they are moralistically correct, and they do follow some of the laws that, you know, we have in the scriptures. somehow they've found a way to go around some of the laws and stating that the sacrificial or the ceremonial laws are no longer in effect. Well, if you go into the scriptures and you read it in the correct manner from a government law and commerce perspective, you will see that the word sacrifice does not mean the slaughter of an animal. The word sacrifice means something that is dear to you, that if you have to give that up, you're going to feel a certain way. It's going to affect you financially. So they're saying that the sacrificial laws are done away with, but yet they're still taking 10% of the people's earnings every week and think that that's not a sacrifice. Well, look a little bit deeper into that and you'll see exactly what it meant. Because if you notice in the scriptures, they're stating that any time there was a free will offering or there was a trespass offering, that they would bring an animal, which was one of their unblemished animals, which means the finest of the flock, to the priest, and that animal would be slaughtered. Now, sometimes the priest and his families, or the priest and the rest of the training priests, would be able to partake in that animal after it's cooked and after that manner. But sometimes the person that brought the sacrifice would not be able to partake in it. Now, we don't see this in a matter of commerce, because if we did, we would notice that the flocks that they had in those days were their money. So livestock, as we have today, livestock is now the people, or the persons, I should say, the bondservants. Well, back then, you had land and natural resources, and you had animals, which were your livestock. That was your money. So when it was sacrificed, it was taken away from your livelihood, and this was the meaning of sacrifice. So if they would stop skipping around the laws and really read it in a manner where it affects them today, they would understand that the laws are still in effect. And with that, brother, I yield and I pass it back to you.
Ta-da. You know, I have various people who are in some of these churches, and they're in some of the churches, and I hear a lot of complaints from one of the sisters. Actually, we and her conversate a lot in terms of a lot of things that go on in the churches and a couple of things that she disagrees with. Myself, I'm not, you know, for or against the churches. I'm a product of a church. I was brought up in a church. Basically, I'm not really, you know, as I come into the understanding of what is being brought forth in terms of what these scriptures mean, it gave me a renewed vision of what these scriptures are actually saying. When you, like what the brother had brought forth earlier, saying, show that we sin because we are under grace, basically, grace would be equivalent to in what you would call in your everyday terms of doing business and livelihood would be equivalent to a grace period. So basically, within the contract that you have with your creator, he's given you a grace period to come back into basically going ahead and governing yourself. You have to have the will to basically go ahead and govern yourself and be able to take care of yourself and disengage away from these forms of ideology or idolatry. You know, with the brother, with the sister, she's always talking about that some of the particular people in those churches are saying things. Now, I don't know everybody that's basically listening audience, and it's not meant to offend or anything like that. It's just based upon an individual situation that I've encountered. And each church is probably a little bit different from what I've come to understand. I know a few people are still my friends that are still in the churches and things like that. But what I've come to understand is that some of the people in those churches believe that it's okay for us to do what we're doing because of the blood of Christ was able to forgave us of our particular sins. I mean, I try to talk with the sister and try to explain to the sister about what these particular things are meaning, and they're not meaning those particular things based upon at face value. They mean particular things, like the brother had just pointed out. You know, everything goes back into government law and commerce. When you read these particular scriptures, you have to read these in terms of the eyes of the law in the eyes of government and in the eyes of commerce. This is what eventually makes a civilization. So this is very, very important. At that particular time, the people were in a civilized particularist mindset. You're given a choice, brothers and sisters, whether you want to go ahead. You have free will, whether you want to go ahead and contract with the devil, but you have to be prepared to go ahead and deal with the consequences that that devil brings forth for not honoring that contract. Now, if you contract with the devil, what is the devil supposed to do if he comes and brings that particular contract back on you? You know, he's a devil, for crying out loud. So, but your contract with the Creator, which is what we're speaking of, is going to bring you back. If you do honor your particular form end of the contract with the Creator, it's going to bring you back exactly what the Creator is basically, you know, telling you and promising you he will give in return for your performance, which is what we talk about with the promise. So your performance, brothers and sisters, is going to determine what you get back in that particular covenant that you have with your Creator. So that's what myself and this brother is speaking about. This is a matter of your performance here and governing yourself and being able to go ahead and deal with your commercial affairs in the proper capacity. So that's what I just wanted to add, brother, and I'll pass it back to you.
Yes, sir. You know, there are some people that also say that the ceremonial laws are done away with. Now, we can speak on that forever, but I'm just going to touch on it. The ceremonial laws are done away with, so they no longer want to keep the Passover. They no longer want to follow the laws that our ancestors, the ceremonies that our ancestors upheld and followed, but they want to follow Christmas. They want to follow all these other holidays that are here that man has given them, or the society they live in, you know, as far as everyone is doing it commercially, so they want to join in on it. Isn't that the same thing that we're explaining as far as to they don't want to follow the laws of the Bible, but they have to follow the laws of the government they're under? That's just ironic. I mean, if you just sit back and think about that, they don't want to follow the laws of Scripture, which were given by the Most High, but they want to follow the laws and the ceremonies of man. And there's many scriptures that speak on the observers of times. In the scriptures, when they say observers of times, people might look at that as someone that follows the almanac. Well, that observers of times mean someone who follows man's holidays, which were before known as holy days. So they've changed that also into the word holiday. Anyhow, let's get back into this. Tribes of Aboriginal Nations, we know without a doubt that there's 613 laws, statutes, and commandments that are still in effect, and it's very necessary to live by, to be one with natural law in order to prosper as a nation. You see, we comprehend what unity is. We comprehend what collective economics is. We know that in order to do both, you have to have a governmental structure that makes sure everything is conducted in a lawful manner. One may believe that they can be an individual and govern themselves and control their self. Some may even think that they only have to answer to the Most High and no one else. And in a sense, that may be true to a certain extent, but the reality is the Most High Kingdom, that is a nation, that should act collectively as such. And just as no one can operate their own business alone without the help of other individuals, whether they be employees or partners, one cannot operate lawfully as an individual, not respecting the laws that they are contracted to or live under. So when you have bond servants that are uncivilized, you need to have as many laws and rules possible to keep them in line. I've heard, if I'm not mistaken, that there's hundreds of thousands of rules, statutes, and codes that affect, in effect by this government. Here's an example of how many laws exist in the United States. By the 1980s, there were 50 volumes of more than 23,000 pages of laws. There are over 20,000 gun laws alone. Since 2012, there has been over 40,000 new laws of various types put into effect. And that information, can be found at www.kowal.com. Again, www.kowal.com. Now, hearing that, does 613 law, statutes, and commandments seem like an unreasonable amount of laws or rules for a nation to follow? Let me warn you, don't think that the punishments for breaking some of these commandments are more lenient as a member or citizen, member citizen or national of tribes of Aboriginal Nation rather than those of the United States. Although many people feel most of the 600 statutes and laws and commandments are minor, each individual will be judged by the Most High and punished by natural law, as our brother explained that earlier. And yes, there are severe punishments for blatant disregard of the major laws, statutes, and commandments within this nation. But we are only going by scripture, and it's not hard to follow 613 laws, statutes, and commandments, as I tell some of my brothers. Basically, you know moralistically what's correct. You wouldn't want to cheat a person out of a contract that you have with them or lie and steal. You wouldn't want to treat someone unfair if they work for you. And basically, your family and loved ones, which includes your wife, you would like to do unto them as you would have done unto you. So keeping those basic laws in mind, everything else falls under that. It's just a matter of following certain rules and laws to govern yourselves as a unified body. And if everyone follows those laws, you would have peace. You would have heaven here on earth, as we stated in other calls. So at this point, I'd like to go to the calls, brother. Unless you have something you'd want to add, we can go to the switchboard.
No, sir. Eric code 201-668, live on the air. Area code 201-668.
Yeah, shalom, brothers.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom.
Yeah, shalom. My name is Brother Trevon. I just want to thank you for everything that you've said. Helping me grow every day, you know, just by listening and just gaining the knowledge. And I think that a lot of love that you're sharing with everyone, and I just want to thank you.
Shalom. Thank you, brother. Thank you for calling.
Shalom, Mark. Now, have you been able to, like, what would you say, Mark, that you incorporated from today's class?
I've been listening in and out, and the way how I received it was just like love, you know, just understanding, and I'll try to say it. I don't have the words right now, but you know, I know that what you're speaking about is words of truth.
Okay.
Well, yes, sir,
definitely
brother.
To
thank you.
That
thank
up.
You.
Well,
yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Area code 347-49. Live on air.
Yeah, brother. This is Brother Dodd. Hold on a second. I got to go outside. I'm in the library. Shalom. Shalom, nation. This is Brother Gary.
Shalom.
Shalom.
All right. Yeah, like always, like the brother said a little earlier, who called in, Trevon, I know him too. I know Anton Jr., he brought me to the scene of listening in. Been listening for like 2 years, almost going on 2 years now. But, you know, we grew up in the same body of church, you know, Seventh-day Adventists, which we all have pretty much the same views on growing up in, you know, from the West Indian household, coming to the Americas, and living the so-called dream of, you know, having being self-independent in a so-called free country. And, you know, as growing up, as kids, we realize, you know, from our different age groups, you know, coming up through the ranks in the church, and some was always, it wasn't enough what they taught us and what we were learning. And I don't know about my other brothers, but from the ages, I would say like 7, 8, I used to question everything. And most kids usually do, but, you know, when you're tentative and, like when I was growing up in church, you know, I noticed just the signs and symbols of the, you know, the people, the images of people and the colors of the ethnic group, and I always questioned different things, like, you know, I hardly saw any people of color on the pictures when they painted it, of us being in heaven, and, you know, it was always a black and white images, or, you know, red for the devil or evil, and dark for evil, and anything white and light is better, and brighter is more better than dark. But nevertheless, what you guys wrapped up in today's lesson, you know, I learned, I heard a lot, and I learned, you know, from what you guys were saying, and it's really true, it's imperative to understand what you guys are talking about. So I hope the listeners are grasping what you guys talk on. So, you know, and I'll leave it there. And I hope to join the nation soon, real soon.
Yes, sir. Ta-da.
Yes, sir.
And brother,
go ahead.
Yes, sir. And brother, do you have any particular anything you would like to add or bring forth to the listening audience in terms of the topic, brother?
Well, when it comes to covenant and it comes to the transgressions of the laws, you know, I'm a good example of, you know, I do believe in karma and, you know, things coming back and haunting you and stuff like that. And, you know, not in a spooky way per se, karma, but that the laws of nature, if you don't follow them, and the agreements of metaphysics or biochemistry or dealing with just what's knowing that's that feels wrong or that feels right, if you don't follow through on your spiritual and intuitive feeling, it's gonna make you suffer physically, spiritually, and even through generations to come, you know, and you can see it. I mean, like my father, he passed away, God bless him, last year. He was 82. My mother's still alive. You know, they were married for 60-plus years, and I got a lot of discipline from them and a lot of understanding and knowledge and wisdom, especially from my father. And my father hardly went to church, but I saw him more spiritually in tune than a lot of people in the church and things he's done, the way he gave back and things he, you know, interact with my mother, his wife, you know, respectfully as a man, as a husband, you know, and as a son he was, who listened to his mother, and, you know, him not growing up with his father too much, but he built a life with her, and I saw that a lot of what you guys, you know, talked on today, He guided us as kids. You know, I'm the last of seven, and you know, all of us, I could see, you know, that I'm the last, and I saw the first six go through a lot of things that my father used to say, you know, watch out for this, watch out for that, don't do this, you know, make sure you get yourself prepared for the future in certain respects, and I've seen them fall in, you know, to the wayside, and even myself, you know, venturing out and doing wrongdoings, and over time, you know, catching up with myself. So I do say that a lot of what you guys say is really in line with respect to the being whipped by nature or being destroyed by, you know, karma or you know, having to suffer in the consequences of choices you make, whether they were wrong or they were positive. So I would say that much in a nutshell. You guys covered a good topic that is very, very vital and true to the laws of nature.
Yes, sir, brother. All praises to the Most High.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. Definitely, brother. And we'll be waiting for you, brother, when you're ready to come here, brother. You know, definitely ready. Definitely, you know, you've been on the calls, you know, past couple of weeks, brother. Definitely like to be able to hear your voice up in the nation. Definitely want to hear your voice up in the nation and bring forth some of that you just brought forth to the listening audience. It's definitely an honor to be able to listen to a brother out there, to be able to speak and, you know, that particular information and also give your body of experience to help out other brothers and sisters as you go ahead and progress toward being possible future leaders of our people. So definitely your call is definitely well receptive, brother, and we definitely appreciate it and we welcome you whenever you're ready, brother.
Yeah, shalom, no
yes,
doubt.
Sir.
Definitely. I will take that step. No doubt about it. I got a lot to offer.
Absolutely, brother, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for all our brothers and sisters to come on, and like the brother had pointed out before, come on and unite, man. Come on, let's unite. Let's bring this forth. Let's bring this kingdom back. Let's get to the point to where we can go ahead and do what this has been established for us. We've gotten this particular inheritance at this particular day that the Most High has bestowed upon us for our brothers and sisters to come on right now and come out of her and get into dealing with your own commercial affairs, governing yourself and other particular things that you're going to go ahead and understand that's going to be very beneficial to you as you progress in your life, lifestyle. So definitely, brother, we're definitely waiting for you. We're waiting for a lot of the listening audience and our brothers and sisters. We need our brothers and sisters to come on in and come into their nationality, come into their own. You know, that's what we're definitely waiting for, brother. So definitely,
that's
whenever you're ready, brother, we are here.
Thank you for the offer. Definitely would take it up. So,
yes, sir. Shalom.
We'll be transpiring soon. All right, shalom.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I think that is the last caller, brother. So, and I do not have my... Yes, sir, brother. So I'll proceed.
Proceed,
brother.
No problem. Thank you, sir. Yes, so as we see, and I just like to put this out there, you know, sometimes some of the brothers, we are out here and we speak against the wrongs that's being done on the streets and, you know, the so-called thugs and the things that we see that are against natural law or that are against the moralistic laws. And we speak on them in a way where it may seem harsh to some people and it may seem as though we're putting them down, but we're not. We're saying it in a way where they could realize it's almost like shock treatment. You know, it's tough love. And if you have a child or you have a family member that's doing something that you can't really understand why they're doing it, or you know it's going to hurt them in the long run and they can't see it, so they're continuing to do it, how will you come off to them to make them understand or realize or to make them stop doing that? You're going to have to give them some sort of shake. You know, you're going to have to shake them out of it somehow. And this is what we do when we come on these calls. We try to shake the things that we see and they can't see out of our people so they can come back to be in a nation as we were in ancient times. I mean, I always like to say, if back in ancient times the people could be as one, you know, they weren't always together and they weren't always as one, but when they were following these 613 laws, statutes, and commandments, they were a mighty nation, they were prosperous, and they could not be touched, no matter how powerful the other nation was, if it came to war. So I'm just saying, if back then, supposedly they call those primitive times, if back then they had everything going for them when they unified, and we as a people can't see that today we need to unify so we can get back to that, then something's wrong and you have to shake them up some way. So this is what we do when we come out on these calls and try to get the people to understand that something's wrong. Something's wrong. And we're not speaking down on government. We're not speaking down on religion. We're not, only thing we're speaking down on is transgression of the laws. And transgression of the laws includes not being a nation known as a nation that is in 18 table of nations. When you're not known as one of those nations, you're nobody. You're not doing what's correct according to the law, statutes, and commandments, because one of those law, statutes, and commandments are for a people to be unified and govern themselves. So with that, brother, I yield, and you can take it from there.
Shalom, brother. Ta-da for that. Definitely want to encourage, if the brothers and sisters haven't already done so, the brothers and sisters to get a hold of a Black's Law Dictionary. What we use in this nation is the 7th edition. I myself have the Black's Law 5th edition. And the reason why I say that is because we have been used to having what we would be termed as being trick language, which is the English language. But the real, true, universal language that is supposed to be from our ancestors as well as ourselves is supposed to be the language of law. The language of law is the language of Scripture. The language of Scripture is the language of law. So once you be able to understand law, you'll be able to understand the Scriptures. Once you understand the Scriptures, you'll be able to understand most of what law is coming from. So with that being said, I'd like to bring forth, I just want to give to the brothers and sisters who may not have a Black's Law as of yet, I just wanted to read law out of fifth edition of Black's Law Dictionary. Okay, law, that which is laid down, ordained, or established. A rule or method according to which phenomena or actions coexist to follow each other. Law, in its generic sense, is a body of rules of action or conduct prescribed by a controlling authority and having binding legal force. Just going down a little bit. That which must be obeyed and followed by citizens subject to sanctions or legal consequences is a law. Law is a solemn expression of the will of the supreme power of the state. In old English jurisprudence, law is used to signify an oath or the privilege of being sworn, as in the phrases to wage one's law, to lose one's law. The term is also used in opposition to fact. Questions of law are to be decided by the court, while it is the province of the jury to resolve questions of fact. As you can see, brothers and sisters, this pretty much gives a lengthy understanding of those words that we use in everyday trick language that we're just thinking what those particular words are meaning. Also, this thing serves as a purpose, brothers and sisters. This serves as a purpose in your everyday affairs. When you get what you would call a contract coming, any particular type of contract. Can I be heard, brother?
Yes, you went out a little bit.
Okay, yeah. Some reason I got muted. Yeah, brothers and sisters, what I was going to bring forth to the relatives, definitely whenever you have a contract, what you can do is get a Black's Law Dictionary and go over that contract, look over the terms and conditions of that contract, and go ahead and find a particular word that you do have and get that Black's Law Dictionary and then look with those particular words that you might not understand and go ahead in there and look in the Black's Law Dictionary. Also, you can also utilize it for, you know, the Scripture. You can go ahead and go back and forth with the Black's Law Dictionary, going in and looking back and forth with the Scripture. So I want to encourage brothers and sisters, if you don't already have one, to get a Black's Law Dictionary, because like we always bring out, Brother Priest always says, the language of law is the language of Scripture.
language of scripture is the language of law. So with that, I will ask Brother Antoshinir to bring us on home.
Yes, sir, brother. And like we said, our brothers are out here trying to get the message out. We're here on Mondays. I'm not quite sure of the time. You can check on blogtalkradio.com/Tribes of Aboriginal Nations, and the time will be there on the up-and-coming calls. We're also here on Wednesdays, today, 4 p.m. We're also here on Fridays, Saturdays, which is the Shabbat, and Sundays. Saturday's call is 6 p.m. If there is no call, then you will see a recording. Also, Sunday is 3 p.m., and likewise, if there is no call, then you will see a recording, a past recording. And with that, I'd also like to put out there the nation's website so that any of the listeners want to know more about what it is we teach and the things that we study and how to become a nation, you can go on to www.tribesofaboriginalnations. Again, Tribes of Aboriginal Nations with a S.com. And also, our temple, which is the political asylum, is www.templeofthemosthigh.org. Again, templeofthemosthigh.org. And there's many different things on there that you could check into your history. You can see the reading materials there that have evidences and facts of who we are in history, and scriptures that would also state who we are by nation and by tribal descent. And with that, I'd like to yield, and thank you for calling, thank you for listening in, and peace and blessings to the listeners. Shalom.
Shalom, relatives.